Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Where it's been pouring for two straight days. And tonight, Penn State will take on Ohio State in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament. And, Rob, I'm getting about a second or two after I speak. I can hear myself. And the only way to communicate it to you is on the air. Sorry about that. And don't quite have it set yet. Although I get to hear myself over and over again. So I get to evaluate myself after I speak.
We're working on it, Steve. We're working on this end.
Well-formed sentence. That was good. Hey, in the meantime, let me do some scores for you, get everybody up to date on what's going on in college basketball. The first game here today in Indianapolis was a beauty between Michigan and Northwestern. Michigan finally won the game 72-70. They had a two-point lead at the end of regulation. Only to have Alex Ola tip one in the lane to tie it. Send it overtime. Then Zach Irvin had a jump shot with about 3.6 seconds to go from 15 feet, and that gave Michigan a big win today as they defeated Northwestern, and it was a big win for Michigan. They needed that game because they're trying to keep themselves alive, obviously, for consideration to the NCAA tournament. They probably would not be in. They might need one more to get there. The other game that's going on right now is Iowa's run off 7 unanswered points, and Illinois leads Iowa 13-11 with 11:31 to go here in the first half. Illinois, of course, won last night with relative ease over Rutgers, and Rutgers got back to campus last night and did the expected and fired Eddie Jordan. The Rutgers athletic department, as we know, in the current state, and we'll see if things improve, but they're a mess. No getting around it. They've been a mess since the time they entered the Big Ten Conference. Everybody knows that, understands that. I was talking with Mike Lucas today from the Wisconsin Network, and Mike also writes for the paper in Madison. And he said, do you like going there? And I said, no, not particularly. No. I said, it's conference game, so you go there. And, they said they're trying to make it into a rivalry with Penn State and the whole thing. Everybody at Penn State's looking around and said, really? No. I've got 50 years of history that tells me it's not. And we were talking about that, and he said, look, nobody in the league likes going there. I mean, he says, we can't stand it. And I said, one of the keys is they're doing the television contract. And I said that even though we all think Penn State gives them enough juice in New York City, I said they're physically there. And I said that probably helps. I said, well, we'll find out in the end. And they've already fired their football coach. They fired the athletic director. And now they've fired the basketball coach. Chris Asher is now the head football coach there. They've got the AD all set. Now the AD gets to pick a basketball coach to take them forward in the league. They got a couple good players there. They got Jonathan Laurent and they've got Corey Sanders. But after that game last night, after Illinois beat them, after Nebraska beat them last night, they got back to Piscataway today, and when they did, they fired Eddie Jordan as the head basketball coach. And the games went pretty much the way we said it when we did the show yesterday. I said I thought Nebraska would win by 10 to 15 points. I think they won by 18. And I said that Illinois would win by 20-plus. I said if not 25-plus against Minnesota. And I think the game was, 34 points or something like that. Other games, Notre Dame and Duke. Notre Dame leads Duke 35 to 34. In fact, the game's now tied at 35 with 3:05 to go in the first half at the Verizon Center in D.C., which, by the way, is where the Big Ten tournament will be next year. So that's where that is. North Carolina's already won today as they beat Pitt in the opening round of the tournament. And by the way, to the credit of Pitt, Pitt really gave North Carolina most of the early afternoon all they could handle until finally North Carolina won it 88-71. That game was a 2-5 point game for most of the day, but Bryce Johnson had 19 points, 10 boards, and 5 block shots in the game, and Berry had 20 points in the game as well out of the backcourt in that one. So other scores for you. We'll just keep you up to date on what's going on with the tournament scoreboard. I mentioned the Big Ten already. Of course, Penn State, Ohio State tonight, and then it's going to be Wisconsin in the late game this evening against Nebraska here at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And, of course, we're on at 6 o'clock tonight with the game. 16 seconds to go in the SEC second round, and Florida leads Arkansas 66-61. In the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden, Villanova's already won today. Took them a little bit, but they finally won, beat Georgetown. Meanwhile, the second game, under 2 minutes to play in the first half, Providence leads Butler 32-26. In the MAC tournament, Central Michigan beat Bowling Green, or leads Bowling Green 23-19, 4 minutes ago, first half. And earlier, it was Akron beating Eastern Michigan. In the Atlantic 10 tournament, George Washington, at halftime, leads St. Louis 33-27. And let's see. In the Big West tournament, Cal Santa Barbara leads Cal Davis 15-8. I'm sure that has massive interest in our area right now. Western Kentucky beat UAB 88-77 in the Conference USA men's quarterfinals. And that's how it's shaped up today in college basketball. College basketball owns the day. Richmond beat Fordham today 72-55. The Michigan game was a wild one today. Weber State leads Portland State, Big Sky 14-8 first half. San Diego State in the Mountain West leads Utah State 5-4 first half. Kansas, which nobody wants to play, Kansas State's forced to, and it's 8-3 Kansas early. Something tells me that Kansas might have enough points to win already. So there we go. Duke now is on a run. The 6 unanswered points and lead Notre Dame 42-35 with 1:50 to go in the half. All right, so that's what we've got going on in college basketball. I've already mentioned the Rutgers firing of Eddie Jordan. And we're going to have a report on high school wrestling coming up from Steve Williams in the final half hour. Rob, there's a lot of high school wrestling going on, and Steve's covering everything going on at, Hershey?
Yep, that's where he is, down in Hershey.
Beautiful. So we'll have that and talk about that. How about Brock Osweiler? 5 years, check it, 4 years, $72 million. He gets $18 million a year. He's made 7 starts in his career. 7. But in the NFL, that's the position you have to have, and that's the position that has been worrying Bill O'Brien. Well, now they've got Osweiler, and they feel he's the guy going forward that will win games for them and be their starting quarterback for at least the next 4 years. Lots of free agency news. I mean, the Steelers re-signed William Gay. Okay, don't see much of a ripple in the pond of excitement over that one. Meanwhile, the Eagles have just cut bait with everybody. Yes, Byron Maxwell did pass his physical, so he's fine. All set to go. Denver might now want to look at Colin Kaepernick, believe it or not. And the Browns and the Jets are looking at Kaepernick as well. That shows you how tough it is for quarterbacks in the National Football League. Kaepernick is not even in the upper half of the league, yet he's going to have plenty of suitors because he's been around the block before. So that's the story there. And we'll come back and we'll talk more about that from Indianapolis in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Nothing like watching Rob dance to this. I mean, nothing like it.
Hey, I might be the best dancer you've ever seen. You don't know. I'm not.
I'm going to assume no.
No, I'm not. Not even close. People see me on the dance floor and go the other direction.
So at the break, it is Duke leading Notre Dame so far, and Grayson Allen has 18 points in the first half for Duke. So that is the story at this stage down in D.C., which is where the Big Ten tournament will be next year. We'll keep you up to date on the scores as we go through the afternoon. 45-37 Duke at halftime over Notre Dame in D.C. Of course, here it's Illinois and Iowa locked up at a close one. And earlier today in overtime, 72-70 was the final, as Michigan in overtime beat Northwestern in what was a really well-played game between the two today. It was high-level hoops at 20 paces earlier today here at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Penn State will play Ohio State tonight, and that will be at Bankers Life Fieldhouse beginning at 6:30 this evening. We're on beginning at 6 o'clock. Team's going to have team meal now, and then after they're done with team meal, then they'll probably watch film one more time and then go over. They had shoot-around this morning. They went to Marion College this morning on the north side of Indy, which is up. Marion College is a little bit closer to where Butler is. They went up there and they had their workout there this morning. Practice for about, I think Pat put them through about 45, 50 minutes worth of paces today. Got up a lot of shots. They're going to go over a little earlier. They're going to go over before this show is over with. They're going to go over about 10 to 5 or so, with the idea they can get dressed, and then if the second that clock hits 5:30 in the arena, they're already be stretched down to get as many shots up as they want, because you don't have shoot around in the building because of four games in one day. It's just impossible for the night teams to get shoot arounds in the building. So Wisconsin and Nebraska will not go through that tonight. And Wisconsin, by the way, is staying in the same hotel we are. Greg Gard did get a full-time contract with Wisconsin, and he is, I don't know how many years Barry Alvarez had. I saw Barry today, but I don't know. But he got it, and to his credit, he did a great job this year. I know one guy voted for him for Coach of the Year. Okay. So that's the story here. The NFL just is amazing how it dominates the landscape, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? No matter what happens. More people, you know, college basketball right now is in its zenith. I mean, it's really just, I mean, reaching its apex. And you've got, you know, I mean, Oklahoma State was beaten by Kansas State last night. TCU shocked Texas Tech last night. And you got a whole series of games of the Big 12 coming up, including Baylor and Texas, and Baylor won today. And you're watching all this, and the second something from the NFL comes up, you immediately stop and you look. Byron Maxwell, Kiko Alonso, DeMarco Murray, all gone from the Philadelphia Eagles. The Steelers doing their usual minimal work in the free agency part. They re-signed William Gay. You've got the big moves of the defensive end from Olivier Vernon going from the Dolphins to the Giants, big money. Now you don't know what's going to happen with the Broncos. They literally don't have a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback on the roster. And they've lost Brock Osweiler. They offered Osweiler 3 years, $45 million, and they thought they were safe. And instead, he ended up with 4 years, $72 million at $18 million a year versus and an extra year to go with it, as opposed to the $15 million a year for 3 years that he was offered by Denver. We had Nikki Javala on the show yesterday, and she mentioned that three-year, $45 million deal that was on the table, and he said no to it. And Denver, of course, is out, and Houston's in. He signs the four-year, $72 million deal. $18 million a year for a guy with seven starts, Kirk Cousins. All right, one really, really good season with Washington. All right, so he goes through and he signs the tender for 1 year as a franchise tag at $19.9 million. Other people can give him a contract if they want, but Washington has the right to match that contract. And if they don't match the contract, if he were to be offered one, but just doesn't look like he's going to, then you would have they'd get two first-round picks out of it. The NFL dominates what's going on out there. Mohamed Sanu signed a five-year contract today with the Atlanta Falcons. It's news. Anything that happens in the NFL, as Nikki said yesterday on the show, she said, look, he says, it's a joke to call it the offseason now. It's a joke. Because it's not the offseason anymore. Any questions on that? We're going to open lines today at 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Gino Morelli did get an at-large to get into the NCAA wrestling tournament. Good for him. A lot of people at the Big Tens didn't think he deserved it, but he got it. Well, that doesn't matter whether they think he deserved it or not. He's in. So he can do some damage, help him out, and then gives Penn State 9 guys in the NCAA Wrestling Championships, which will be at Madison Square Garden in New York next week. So that's the news, and get you up to date on everything that's gone on so far today. But the earth-shattering moves at quarterback, it is amazing to see the money they're getting and now how desperate teams are when they lose somebody. Denver's looking at Colin Kaepernick? Really? Really? No, that can't be. Now, there's also another rumor. You'll love this one, Rob. You know what the rumor is? The quarterback rumor is?
Afraid to ask.
Sam Bradford to Denver.
Which would make Chase Daniel the Eagles' starting quarterback.
That's the rumor. It would be a trade, obviously. It would be a trade. So a lot of Big Ten news out here today. Michigan in overtime survives on the Zach Irvin jumper to win it 72-70. Iowa and Illinois locked up on a tight one in the first half, and Eddie Jordan's been fired as the head basketball coach at Rutgers. Coming up this day in sports history and your calls at 1-800-795-9565. Later, Steve Williams will join us on high school wrestling at 4:35. We're in Indianapolis. I look to my left out the window, Lucas Oil Stadium. I look to my right and a sign in the storefront that says, thank you, Peyton, for the memories.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Big Ten Tournament in Indianapolis, where the Nittany Lion basketball team tonight will be in action as they take on Ohio State at 6:30. We're on beginning at 6 o'clock this evening with head coach Patrick Chambers. Dick Girardi, of course, is here. Dick's actually been writing stories today. And, of course, one of the stories he's working on is that the Ivy League is going to go to a four-team tournament. And, of course, that, you know, that has a major effect, obviously, on what Penn's going to do and Princeton and so forth. But this happens to be a year where they would have been able to get, Yale would have been the number one seed going in. But, again, they're going to go to a four. It looks like a four-team tournament they're going to go to starting next year in the Ivy League. They're the only ones that don't have a tournament. I mean, that's it. They're the only ones left that don't. What do tournaments mean? We talk about bubble talk, in, out, so forth. What do they mean economically? Well, obviously, the leagues benefit by having conference tournaments. They're going to make money out of it. And the what does it mean economically for a city to have a tournament? Well, here in Indianapolis, I can tell you what it means. The Big Ten women's basketball tournament was here last week. They estimate that the economic impact on the area was about $5 million. Now you've got the Big Ten men's basketball tournament here this week. They are estimating that it will bring 80,000 visitors into Indianapolis and that the economic impact is $13.4 million to the city to host this. The women's Final Four will be here the first weekend of April. They're estimating that that will bring in about $18 million to the economy. Every 5 years, because the NCAA, when they put their headquarters here in Indianapolis years ago, part of the agreement in order to get them, you know, in order to make it work between the two, for them to have their headquarters here in Indianapolis, was that they would get the Final Four here every 5 years. Well, last year, that was one of the years, and the economic impact was $71 million to have the Final Four here in Indy last year. But just in the 3 weeks you're going to have, or the 4 weeks that you have here in Indianapolis, you're going to have three major basketball tournaments, the Big Ten Women's Tournament, this week the Big Ten Men's Tournament, and then the Women's Final Four in the first weekend of April. Altogether, the economic impact will be between $36 and $37 million to the economy of Indianapolis. That's what it means. I know everything comes down to the money. I understand that. And sometimes, obviously, you know, people ask me, you know, you talk money a lot. And I talk money a lot because I'm trying to, you know, have everybody understand why certain things happen and why they take place. And that's all part of the equation as to what is going on with intercollegiate athletics. Intercollegiate athletics is, I mean, it's big business. If you want to continue to have, I'm going to give you an example. If you're not doing what they're doing in football and men's basketball, if you're not doing that and you're not reaping any kind of benefits like that out of it, then you're not going to have wrestling. We got a lot of wrestling fans in the area. I mean, do you really think you're self-sustaining? Really? Really? I gave everybody the numbers 2 weeks ago, and the, you know, and the numbers were stark. I mean, Penn State is the number one wrestling program in the country, unquestionably. In fact, they've got three number one seeds for the upcoming tournament. Nolf's now at number two behind Martinez. And Penn State sells out. They didn't sell everything out this year. The Wisconsin dual meet was not sold out in the Jordan Center. And that bothered Kale. But Ohio State was a sellout. And they sell out in Rec Hall. And the program still lost $500,000 this year. It's just the way it is. And Kale justifiably would like to get to a point where his team starts chartering. And I completely understand why he wants to do that. Women's volleyball charters here at Penn State, for example. And you know, you can charter here at Penn State if you're not a if you're outside of football, men's and women's basketball and women's volleyball. Russ was able to get that. Other sports can charter if they want, but they have to raise the money themselves. For example, I think softball's going out to Iowa some point in April, I think, and they were able to raise the money to get the charter. And so they're going to do it. But Kale, idealistically, down the road, because like it's a brutal schedule, they win, and they win a lot, and he eventually would like to have, justifiably, and I completely understand as somebody who lives on these things, charter flights. Well, they cost money. I mean, charter flights are not inexpensive. Flying commercial is less expensive, but a much greater hassle. Tremendous hassle. Well, when he decides to do that, and the door to that won't be open until the new TV contract is signed between the Big Ten and the networks, and my guess is, and it won't go into effect, by the way, until August of 2017. So it's still a year and a half away from going into effect. But when that goes into effect, that will open the door for more money so they can do something like that. And they've earned it. I mean, through pure performance and everything they do and how popular they are at the university, they've earned that right. But it still means they're going to lose more money. It's just not going to make money. It's just not going to. And that sport is right now as popular as anything gets on campus. Men's hockey makes some money. I want to say men's hockey made about $700,000, if I remember the numbers right, which is good. That's a good year for them. And they had made, I think, $400,000 the year before. They made $700,000 this year in men's hockey. Men's basketball made $6.2 million, and football made $36 million. You're saying, well, how can men's basketball make $6.2 million? I go to the Jordan Center, and, you know, Rec Hall sold out for wrestling. How can that possibly be? Well, it can possibly be because Penn State has a TV and radio contract as part of the Big Ten Network and as part of Learfield. That's a big part of this on top of the ticket prices, and there's revenue sharing in the conference. The revenue sharing for Penn State in football benefits other schools, and the revenue sharing in basketball benefits Penn State. And it's a sliding scale. I think it's $1 million top number in football. The bottom number, the minimum you have to kick into the pot is $650, and then everybody divides it. Well, Penn State, I think the top number in basketball is $65,000 a game, and it's $27,000 at the bottom number. Now, Penn State's not always at the bottom at $27,000. When they played Michigan State, that number would have been further up. When they played Illinois, for example, on Sunday, that number would have been further up because they have between $9,000 and $10,000 in the building. But there are other games where, obviously, when they played Northwestern, something tells me that would be a bottom number of $27,000. You still have to kick it in, then they divide it by 14. Everybody gets a cut in revenue sharing. So that's how it happens. And the ticket prices are higher to go to a men's basketball game than they are to go to a wrestling match. Now, men's basketball also has to pay rent. Housing and Food Services runs the building at Penn State. The athletic department does not run the building. The athletic department runs Rec Hall, and the athletic department runs Pagula and runs Beaver Stadium. But the Bryce Jordan Center is run by Housing and Food Services on campus. It's been there since day one. And I remember that they had to do a promotional video to introduce the Bryce Jordan Center to the central part of the state and to the community to get people interested in what's going on, advertisers and so forth. And I've worked at Channel 3 WPSU-TV now for 26 years. Well, I was the person assigned to doing that video. I'm the one that actually was assigned to produce that video. Everybody else did all the work, but I was in charge of writing the script, in charge of doing the interviews, things like that. So so essentially those were my roles, to be the producer of it, write the script, do all the interviews, have it matched together. We sat down, put it all together. Other people then did all the work of assembling, of editing and putting shots in, what we needed, what the economic impact would be. I think I said that in the video, I think the number we came up with was $23 million a year after talking to experts. This is back in 1996. And I did the video in 95, summer of 95 I did it. But when I did the video, all my interviews were done over at Housing and Food Services because they ran the building. It wasn't, so those are the people I was talking about what the building's going to be able to do and so forth. Then there were a couple of, I interviewed the basketball coaches, what the building could mean for them, the athletic director, Tim Curley, as to what the building could mean for athletics. I had to do that part later. But the people that run the place, at Penn State, men's and women's basketball have to pay rent every time they have a practice there. They have to pay rent every time they play a game there. They have to rent out office space in the two wings for football and basketball and also for the athletic department. You want to have a meeting in room F at the Jordan Center, you have to go through and you have to pay a fee to Housing and Food Services. Now, is it an internal exchange? Yes. But remember, the athletic department is autonomous financially from the university. And so that's where the payment comes from. That's something that wrestling would have to take into account, because wrestling received last year with the Iowa thing a sweetheart deal. I think my understanding is they got the building for nothing for Iowa. Well, if they ever did this on a regular basis, I can assure you in no uncertain terms they would not be getting the building for nothing. So they'd have to pay rent, and so there's a lot of things that come into play. So when we talk about the economic impact of what these league tournaments mean. And the same thing with bowl games. I mean, you go through with bowl games, the number of bowl games out there and the economic impact that they have is tremendous. I watch Requiem for the Big East again this week. The ESPN brilliantly produced 30 for 30. And what started, there was no organization in the East at all. None. In football and in men's basketball. None. I mean, I grew up and I loved college basketball growing up in New England. And the big game was UConn would play BC, or UConn would play Holy Cross, or BC would play Holy Cross. And that, you know, and that's what you would get. Those would be the games that you would get. Those were, quote, big games. You know, maybe they'd play Syracuse once in a great while, didn't compete well against Syracuse, but would try to get games like that. But there was no organization. I mean, what was your path to get to the NCAA tournament? The ECAC championship? I mean, Ernie DiGregorio, Marvin Barnes, and Providence made it to the Final Four one year with Dave Gavitt as the head coach, and had to go through that maze of ECAC stuff to get there. And they had no organization. Well, Dave Gavitt was brilliant. And one of the guys that was with him in the early days on the television side is Mike Gorman, who does the Celtics. And I've been in touch with Mike, and Mike is going to do the show here at some point based on a little more freedom with his Celtics schedule, because Mike was the play-by-play guy for a long time in the Big East, both on ESPN and the Big East Network. But they formed, got those eight schools. They formed it. And then, of course, money entered into it. And, you know, these guys never thought much about money. And there's one point where Jim Boeheim says in the mid-'80s, Nike came to them and it said, look, we're going to give you guys some money. Okay? And we're going to give you your gear. And we're going to give you your shoes. And your uniforms. And warm-ups. And we're going to pay you. And Boeheim admitted in the piece. He said, look, I was making more money from Nike than I was from Syracuse. And that's where things started to change. Money got in there. And again, I've said this several times. Money is awesome for sports. And there's also a part where money's bad for sports. Now, which would you rather have? Well, obviously I'd rather have, you know, the money. But we don't have, we've lost rivalries. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment, about the rivalries lost and how different it is now for young people today compared to what it was like when I was younger, and the rivalries that you thrived on and counted on year in and year out, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors has the cure for March sadness.
It's Ford Truck Month.
Sunbury Motors Ford has your truck. So avoid March sadness and don't miss these Truck Month deals. Choose from over 100 new F-150s with savings over 10 grand. F-150s start as low as $25,219. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck 39 consecutive years.
There's one sold every 42 seconds.
Pick from over 65 new 2016 Ford Escapes and take $3,750 off. And they start from just $20,490. Get 0% financing for up to 60 months on all 2016 Escapes, Explorers, and Expeditions, and 2015 Edges and F-150s during SMC's March Truck Sale. Sunbury Motors is also the area's premier commercial truck center, stocking super duties like chassis cabs, crew cabs, dualies, and diesels. Avoid March sadness. Come get your truck at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza.
We'll update the scoreboard for you in a minute here from Indianapolis. First, this day in sports history. 1920, Joe Malone of the Quebec Bulldogs scored six goals in a game against the Ottawa Senators. Ottawa, gone. 1941, the Brooklyn Dodgers announced their players would begin wearing batting helmets during the 1941 season. This is after Don Zimmer got hit in the head with a pitch. 1993, Sherry Davis became the first woman to be a PA announcer of a Major League Baseball team. She became the public address announcer of the San Francisco Giants. Today, college basketball at halftime. Maverick Morgan has scored 12 so far. Illinois leads Iowa 37-35 at the break. Peter Jock has 17 so far for Iowa. But Illinois leads Iowa 37-35 at halftime. Meanwhile, it was a Zach Irvin shot with 3.6 seconds to go from 15 feet that lifted Michigan past Northwestern in overtime, 72-70 today. And Michigan will get Indiana next. That's coming up tomorrow here at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Six teams are probably locks for the Big Ten right now. Michigan is trying to somehow hang in there, and today's win helped them without a doubt. Duke, meanwhile, with about 11 minutes to play, leads Notre Dame 64-48. North Carolina beat Pitt earlier in the day. Villanova won, beating Georgetown at the Big East tournament in at Madison Square Garden in New York. We don't have rivalries. I mean, we have some rivalries still. A lot of people obviously cherish the Auburn-Alabama rivalry, the cherish North Carolina-Duke, Ohio State-Michigan. But all this conference movement has just changed so many things. For example, you don't have Missouri playing Kansas anymore in basketball. You don't have Texas A&M playing Texas in football. You can have conferences break up rivalries, conference movement. Penn State and Pitt don't play each other. They'll start playing each other every 4 years, but it's a non-conference game. And I mean, they've only played four times since 1992, Penn State and Pitt in football. You don't have any more Texas A&M Texas. You don't have Maryland and Duke in basketball anymore. You just don't have Boston College does not play UConn in anything. May not be a wild rivalry that brings national significance, but at the same time, it's still a rivalry to the people there. Going to share one really good story for you. You'll like this. Roy Williams, I heard him tell this story on SiriusXM the other day with Chris Childers and Rick Neuheisel. They were talking about rivalries in North Carolina and Duke, and they asked him, he said, you know, what about Auburn, Alabama, and football? And he says, ironically, we were in Birmingham to play UAB. He said the next day after that kick was run back by Auburn, the missed field goal for a touchdown, that crazy finish a couple of years ago. And he said, we get to the hotel. We're going to play on Sunday. So we get to the hotel on that Saturday night. He said, everybody's got long faces. They're all upset. And he said, so I go up to my room, and he said, I put the key in. The key, oh, man, the key won't work. So he goes back down to the desk. He goes to the front desk. Boom. They go through. They swipe another key. They give it to him. He goes back up to his room. Tries the key card again. Key doesn't work again, so he goes back down to the front desk. And the manager's down there at the front desk. And he said, and Roy Williams said something to him, but he says, well, a lot of long faces here. He says, yeah, you're darn right. It's a hard loss today for Alabama. He says, that darn Saban went out. Why is Saban kicking a field goal in that spot at that time? He said, you don't kick that 57-yard field goal. You don't do that. Why'd Saban do that? And Roy Williams said to him, he says, how long have you been the manager here? And he said, he gave me, and Roy Williams said it was some number, some significant number. He says, well, he says, you know what? He says, you've been the manager here for that significant number. He says, all these years. He says, and you're going to tell Nick Saban how to do, who's won at that point, two national championships, how to handle himself at the end of the game. He says, meanwhile, it's the third time I've come down here for my key card. Yep. You're going to tell Nick Saban what to do at the end of the game, but I have to come back down here for the third straight time to get my key card. Sums up a lot. Steve Williams is going to join us to talk about the PIAA Wrestling Championships at 4:35. Coming up, our play-by-play call of the day. Phone lines open at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565 on News Radio 1070 WKOK as the Sunbury Motor Studio goes mobile to the Big Ten Championships in Indianapolis.